Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed on the other side of the glass, producing and engineering today's show for us. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, January the 12th, 2015. Hope you had a good weekend and are ready for a productive work week. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI The Voice. We're live streaming on my website, buckmastershow.com, and the station's website, kvoi.com. And of course, our podcasts and complete show archive is available 24/7 anywhere in the world for your listening on your schedule at buckmastershow.com. During this Monday noon hour, we will do the Monday political face-off to get things going, as we do each newly minted Monday afternoon. Then we'll have a newsmaker interview at the bottom of the hour with the newest member of the Pima Community College Governing Board. Mark Hanna will be joining us. We will introduce him to our listeners. Then we'll close out the show with the monthly segment on space and space technology with Dr. Mark Sykes from the Tucson Planetary Science Institute. The Buckmaster Show live line number 790-2040. And our Facebook page, as we approach now 3,900 friends, just a couple of friends short, is Bill Buckmaster. Every Monday, we do the Monday Political Face-Off. This week's team of commentators, Bob Westerman, is with us. Bob is former Pima County Republican Party chair. He is a former legislative candidate in Arizona. And we have Paul Eckerstrom with us, longtime Democrat Party activist, former state and local Democrat Party chair. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. In other words, Mo does it all. If you have something that needs to be hanged, he will take care of it. Or would it be hung? Not quite sure on that one. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and at Facebook. Paul and Bob, how are you gentlemen today?
Doing great. Well.
Yeah. Except for the watching that game last night, which was kind of depressing.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that will come back when they do the selection committee. Mm-hmm. Will say, oh my goodness, Arizona lost to Oregon State. Yeah. So it can certainly present problems in that regard. Today is the State of the State address. Our new governor, Governor Ducey, will be proposing, among other things, a hiring freeze as the first step toward bringing the state's books into balance. And there's a lot of balance needed, at least $190 million in the red, but that doesn't count the $317 million that the state now owes to schools. So it's a lot of money, Bob Westerman, and a hiring freeze is one thing, but that's not going to really take care of that big money.
Yeah, but I kind of like the way Doug thinks. I mean, as he's starting off by saying, hey, look, you got to stop digging. You got to, if you're going to get a hole, stop digging, okay? Well, hiring freeze, stop the business regulations, which he did recently too, and start looking at how we can get control of our spending. That's just him, his way of saying that's what he wants to do. He also mentions priority as far as value-based priorities, looking at what you're spending your money on, and let's pick the right things to spend the money on.
Paul, the hiring freeze will go through all state departments, and I know there's a lot of concern over something Steve Farley said on this program on Friday. Senator Farley said the word that he's hearing is that there's going to be an effort to zero out the state university system. The university system gets now about 10% of its money from the state. That's been going down over the years. That's got to be a concern.
It's hugely troubling, and here's the problem. That $190 million figure you said, that's going to increase because we're only halfway through the fiscal year. So it's going to be more like $300-400 million plus the $317 million that the courts and the out years of the additional tax cuts that have already been implemented but are being phased in over time is going to create even more problems with revenues in the future. Understand, Arizona has been cutting for years now their budget to the point where we don't build new roads anymore. We're lucky to maintain any of them in the state route systems. We have gone from the lowest tuition rates in the country for in-state tuition, which was part of our Constitution says, Arizona Constitution says, college education shall be as free as possible. Right now, going to ASU, U of A, or NAU, it's $12,000 a year tuition and fees, when it used to be less than $1,000 in 1986. And the problem with that is it's pricing middle-class parents and their kids out of being able to get a college education. The state, the whole idea of state land-grant schools was the state subsidized those universities so people can get a college education. And it would open things up for a lot of people to be able to get that college education. Who started that? The Republicans. President Lincoln would be rolling in his grave if he knew what Arizona's doing to his state land-grant universities that he passed in the midst of the Civil War. This is, understand this, the Republican Party was the big mover and shaker for public education. They were the ones at the turn of the last century that pushed hard for that because they believed in laissez-faire economics, but they also believed in allowing people to have an equal opportunity at the start of life. And what we're creating now in Arizona is not
so
that.
So you need, and you know, you talk about the cost of the tuition going up, Paul. You got to look at what's causing the cost of the tuition to go up. You know, how are our university systems operating? I mean, we used to have state colleges where tuition was a lot lower. All of a sudden now all we got is university systems, and university cost is way high. I mean, you're paying a third of the cost for a freshman comp class at the community college. You go over to the University of Arizona, it's three times that cost. The same class, you know, it makes you wonder, is it time for our university systems and our higher education systems to go through some kind of reform and see what they can do to help reduce costs of the tuition? It's just not a matter, it shouldn't be a matter of we should increase taxes and increase putting money into the university systems to fix the problem. You should start with fixing the university systems and find a way to reduce costs there.
It's not a matter of, everything can be run maybe a little bit more efficiently. I don't disagree with that. And maybe the problem is universities right now, the only place they're getting their dollars anymore, it's not from the state. We used to subsidize the state universities at about 40% of their costs. Now it's 10, and now they want to go to zero. And if we do that, tuition rates will have to go up. We maybe should shift our priorities to teaching kids instead of research. But the problem is that where a lot of the money now is coming from for the universities to keep them afloat is research dollars from federal and foundations.
Well, certainly the University of Arizona. That's how they're set up.
But yeah. Bob, think about this. If we cut that stuff, and we cut the research part of this, guess what? Not only are we not getting a good workforce for businesses, we are also not having the research and technology hub that we need for high-tech businesses. These businesses eventually are just going to leave the state, and the ones that we wanted to come to state aren't coming. Doug Ducey's idea of zeroing out the income tax means even less revenue for the state. At some point, you got to pay for what you pay for. If you want a shabby system where business isn't going to even want to be in this state, then that's what we'll get because that's what we're paying for.
Yeah, but if you do the right things, I mean, you look at zeroing out the income tax in Arizona, you're going to draw more people in Arizona, you're going to grow. Doug's philosophy is, and it's very clear, and he's going to talk about it today in the state address, is he wants to grow his way out of the issues and the economic problems.
Can we do that, Bob, without raising taxes?
Well, other states can do it. We can do it. We just have to do the right thing. Now, is there a balance between how taxes are collected? Well, let's go back to taxes. What he's talking about, too, is some kind of a tax reform. Mm-hmm. Look at our tax code and how we do it. We're a three-legged stool right now. We've got sales tax. We have property taxes and income taxes. Is that the right thing for Arizona? Are we balanced the right way?
Yeah. Well, Arizona, the state of Arizona zeroed out their property taxes. They don't collect property taxes anymore. The state of Arizona wants to zero out income taxes. That won't be around. So what's left? I mean, truly, what's left? Sales taxes? And I would venture to say that income tax is the fairest tax because it's a progressive tax. People with a lot more money pays a little bit more in, and people with less money pay a little bit less in.
Now, sales tax is progressive,
but
I agree.
But I think, and that's the best way to do it, and also a sales tax is, by the way, the worst tax when you go up and down in the business cycle. If it's a down business cycle, guess what? You get practically no revenues from sales tax. So I think zeroing out the income tax is the exact wrong thing to do in reforming the tax system.
Interesting enough, in sales tax, Paul, that you know, state of Arizona, we have tourists come to Arizona, okay, and that's one of the ways we can collect revenue is from the tourists in Arizona. If we don't have a sales tax, we can't get it there. We don't get anywhere else. So you know, if you attract business, attract people to Arizona, you know, maybe sales tax can be a bigger piece.
But if you don't, if you have a zero income tax. So where is the taxes? Even if you bring in more revenue, you want to bring in more revenue because businesses are up. Well, if nobody's getting taxed, then there's no revenues. I don't understand that philosophy.
I don't think Doug's going to say just make it zero tomorrow. I don't think he wants to go do that. I think he wants to put together a plan, and he wants to demonstrate how he reducing income tax in Arizona can result in maybe growth in Arizona. Now, certainly, if you don't have the growth, and we're talking about that right now, do we have enough growth in Arizona based on a corporate tax cuts? That's a discussion we also have. But, you know, the growth is what you want to try to do to get Arizona out economically.
Well, I will put this out because there's a lot of people that study this stuff. Arizona is one of the fourth lowest tax states in the country. We have the fourth worst economic growth in the country right now. Minnesota, for example, is the fourth highest tax state in the country. They have a great education system, great university system. And guess what? They have the fourth highest growth rate in the country. So I reject this whole thing that cutting taxes somehow creates a better business environment for economic growth. That this isn't true.
We're going to take a break right here at 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. Bob Westerman and Paul Eckerstrom will continue with the Monday Political Face-Off. It's a good discussion. We're trying to figure out where is this money going to come from to pay the bills here in the state of Arizona. If you've got some ideas or want to weigh in, 790-2040. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman on behalf of Five Star Termite and Pest Control. Question: how many cockroaches does it take to change a light bulb? None, if you use Five Star Termite and Pest Control, because there are no cockroaches. Hasta luego. Adios, cucaracha. Do yourself a favor and call my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this January 12th on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, live streaming KVOI.com and BuckmasterShow.com. We are at 1220 on the Monday Political Face-Off, which is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at Moe'sGallery.com and on Facebook. One thing Moe really enjoys is good-spirited conversation, and we're getting that today with Bob Westerman and Paul Eckerstrom, where we're talking about where is the money going to come from to balance the state's budget. Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Tom would like to join us. Go ahead, Tom.
Gentlemen, I believe the governor is going to call for the privatization of the public school system in Arizona, making the parents responsible for the education of their children, no matter how they do it, because the money just doesn't exist.
Well, you make a good point, Tom. We are going more and more in that direction at state universities, where it is becoming more and more privatized. And even in school districts around the country, pay for after-school programs.
Right.
School busing is something that's been addressed in some school districts. So it's kind of going that way, isn't it, Bob Westerman?
Yeah, I think so. It's even in the charter schools, by the way, a lot of their success is based on the fact that the parents are more involved and they put more, they actually add more cash to the bucket to get better education. But I understand what you're saying. I think it has always been, and it always should be, the responsibility of the parent to make sure their kids get educated, no matter what they've got to do to make that happen. I mean, certainly, though, we want to try to make the opportunity affordable as much as we can. I guess the question comes is how much do you want that subsidized by the taxpayer? But another way of looking at it, I think, is you need to reduce the cost of education by the way education is managed and the way education is presented. I think there needs to be a reform in that area.
Paul, I think privatizing our public schools is the worst idea in the history of mankind. Public education built this country and made us the strongest economy in the world because of it. And low tuition costs at state land-grant universities made us the research and the educated workforce that we've had, the envy of the world. We are fast going down to the bottom. And here's the problem. You do a privatized of a public school. They're talking about giving every parent $4,500 to send their kid to a private school. Okay. Well, St. Gregory's costs $13,000 a year, all right? That's a good high school, but it's $13,000 a year. Kid on the south side, $4,500, they can't make up the difference. The wealthy people now get a subsidy that they weren't paying before to send their kid to St. Gregory's. And so even the middle class isn't going to be able to afford St. Gregory's. What did everybody else get? What does everybody else get? They don't get their subsidy that they were already paying $13,000. Now they pay $9,000, the rich people. The regular folks out there, the vast majority of people, you know what they get?
They get
to go to a strip mall high school because that's what it's going to cost. And you know what these private schools are going to be? They're going to be for profit as well. They're going to take a chunk themselves before they even
get
classroom
work. But the reason all this
work.
Is happening, Paul, is because we talk about the money, we keep talking about the cost of education and things like this, but you got to start looking at performance and how it's managed and how the schools are doing their job. And that's what's driving a lot of people to private schools they're saying, look, I send my kid to a private
I understand
school.
That. Let me address that.
Real
Here's
quickly,
the problem.
Because I've got two calls. Hold
we
on.
Were number six in the country in funding per pupil in this state among all the other states in the country in the 1960s. We fell to 25th in the country by the 80s. You know what we are now? We're last.
All right.
And the reason that it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, Bob, if you don't fund the schools, they don't perform well. Yeah, but and then everybody wants to go into a private school.
You're still just tying dollars to performance, and that's not the whole story.
All right, let's go now to Mike. He has some ideas about where the money's going to come from to keep this state running. Go ahead, Mike. Hey, Mike. You're on the air.
Yeah, people are always trying to soak the rich, make them pay for everything. The problem is, those people don't pay any taxes at all. You have some sort of minimum taxation for the state and also for the country.
I don't disagree with that, Mike. You know, a progressive system, a progressive tax like an income tax, I think somebody, even in the low income, should pay a little bit something in. But let's be real. Where is the concentration of the wealth in this country? 90% of it is in the top 1%.
Yeah,
so guess where the money is. If you want to have a real fair, balanced system, those people should pay a little bit more in, frankly.
Yeah, but I think the caller's concern is that, you know, the answer always seems to be is increase the taxes.
All right,
that's
let's
the
go.
Way to fix it.
Vince has been waiting patiently. Vince, go ahead.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hi, Vince.
Hi, 46%, Paul. That's not a very good number of the amount of money that gets to the classroom in this school district. And also, using anecdotal evidence to pull Minnesota out of your hat and put it up against Arizona is, you can make any argument you want.
Well, I'll take Massachusetts, Connecticut, or any of those.
Let me finish. Let me throw North Dakota and Texas at you, and you take New York and New Jersey, and we'll see who wins the tax argument. So, you know, we can play that game all day.
Okay, thanks, Vince.
Well, I'll take New York's economy. I mean, I will. I mean, and by the way, let's be real objective about this. That 46% figure is a figment of the Goldwater Institute's imagination because
about classroom spending.
They don't take into account that bus systems to transport kids or cafeterias to feed the kids. They don't take into account the counselors, the nurses, the librarians that are all dealing with the kids directly. Those don't count in terms of, they count as administrative costs, which isn't really the case. That's not some administrator in 1010 at TUSD making decisions for a big salary. Mm-hmm. Those aren't counted.
But he's right, with only 46% of the money going to classrooms, you know, that's still, you can't ignore that as the problem. One of the things we have to address. I mean, one of the things that Doug Ducey wants to address in his classroom initiatives is to try to get more money into classrooms. I think everybody wants to do that, Paul. I mean,
I don't have an argument with that, but I'm just saying the way you look at it is that figure is not as low as it's being touted. Hmm. It's just not.
By the way, New York, you know, if you want to go back to New York, more people move in New York than moving out of New York than most any states and unions. I guess they're not too happy with them.
I'll still take their economy. I'll take California's economy. I'll take Minnesota's economy. I'll take Massachusetts or Connecticut's. They all spend money on education.
So, yeah, Governor Ducey will be talking about what he calls a classrooms first initiative to protect classroom spending. We'll see how much he can protect, though.
Well, you know, and he wants to do that by talking to the educators. I think he wants to get involved. He doesn't want to be his solution. He wants it to be an our solution. And if I read what Doug wants to do here, I think he has a very sincere attitude towards working with the education system to make some changes and get that number to you know, better than 55%, which needs to be done. Of course, Tucson is like 46%. That's a very bad mismanaged district.
Well, and I would say this. The other thing I would say is, look at, we've had a huge, over the last 25 years, cuts in education in this state for 25 years. And that correlates specifically with the tax cuts we'd have every year for the last 25 years. And what I would say is, I don't want just to maintain where we're at right now, which is the bottom of the country. I would like to restore some of those cuts that took place. And that does take money. You get what you pay for. And all I'm asking is, yeah, let's be as efficient as possible with our money, but let's recoup some of the tax revenues we've lost and put it into education. That's what we need to do to maintain a good business environment. I'm not saying to be in the highest tax state in the country. I mean, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's recoup some of the taxes we've given up over the last 25 years and put it directly in a very good investment, which is education.
And so that tax money comes from where, Paul?
We've had 25 years of tax cuts. We have one-third the state income tax we had in 1991.
So the money you want now for education, the additional taxes you want now, comes from where?
we just raise some taxes back that we didn't have, that we had before. I'm not saying go back to 1991, but gosh almighty, need to do that to save our state.
Instead of raising the tax, would you not consider maybe doing some things a little more efficiently and finding money in that way instead of doing the tax?
I would certainly do that, but we need to do both, frankly, to save our school systems in
the state. Well, that's a good conversation. All right. Doing both.
Yeah. We will end on that positive note. Bob Westerman, thank you very much, Bob. And Paul Eckerstrom, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe can take care of all of your framing needs, and then he'll come out to the house, look at what needs to be the hanging surfaces and hanging systems all taken care of at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and also check them out on Facebook. We're coming up now on 12:30 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll speak with the newest member, speaking of education, of the Pima Community College Governing Board, Mark Hanna, will join us right after this.
Perfection Auto Works wants to know, do you own a Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, or BMW? Does the dealer repair pricing structure offend your wallet? Tired of overpriced repairs at the dealer without the quality and attention you deserve? If so, consider Perfection Auto Works, conveniently located near Speedway and Craycroft. From the major tune-up on your Jetta to the clutch replacement on your Porsche 911, call 323-8650. That's 323-8650. PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon. Today we resume our new monthly interview series, which is presented by Pima Community College Today we're going to hear from Mark Hanna. Mr. Hanna was elected by the voters last November to become the newest member of the Pima Community College Governing Board. Mark replaces Brenda Even, who is stepping down after 14 years. Mark Hanna is a counselor at Catalina Magnet High School. This is his first elected position. However, he has served on the board of PCC's Fundraising Foundation. He's also a board president of the UA Hillel Foundation, which provides services to Jewish students at the UA. Now, the PCC governing board positions are unpaid and are for a six-year term. Mark Hanna, thanks for being on the program.
Thanks for inviting me, Bill.
Why did you want to be a governing board member?
Well, Bill, my last 8 years as the college counselor, college and career readiness counselor at Catalina High School, showed me how important Pima was to this community, is to this community. About 60% of the students going on to post-secondary education at Catalina go to Pima, and without Pima, that is their lifeline to higher education. Without Pima, many of them can't afford to go to the U of A or aren't ready to go to another four-year university, so Pima is so important to the students in our community.
How do you see the situation right now with Pima as it fights to have, in effect, its credibility restored?
Well, no two ways about it. There's a lot of work to be done. I'm excited about this new chance for us to move on from the HLC sanctions. Right now, our chancellor and some other folks are back in Chicago presenting to the HLC committee that did the site visit here, their response to that visit. And it is our estimation that at the end of February, when the full HLC board meets, that we will be removed from probation and put on something that's called notice, which removes the sanctions but requires another visit from them to make sure that we're continuing our progress.
What did the Higher Learning Commission, when they've come out on the site visits, what are some of the things, Mark Hanna, that they've been looking at?
Well, the good news is it's not academics and it's not financial issues. Pima is virtually debt-free, so that's really good news, and the academics are really in great shape there. It was all about governance. And it was about the oversight of the board and some of the administrators who did not have their thumb on the pulse of what was going on campus, and they pointed those things out very succinctly to us, and those things are in the process of being repaired at this point.
One thing I'm sure that reinforced during your run for the governing board was how in high esteem Pima is held by the people of this community.
You know, it was very interesting. I knocked on over 2,000 doors during my campaign, and I can tell you without a doubt, I heard story after story of success at Pima, how Pima had helped them or their children. And it was overwhelming. Despite everything you hear and read in the media, the truth is that people in this community support Pima, they use it, Pima, and it's a great institution for our community.
The president has talked about a proposal that would, in effect, make community college free. It would be a federal government and state deal where they would split the tab. But in many ways, the tuition is almost free for many people in this community.
Well, that is true because of something called the Pell Grant and the low cost of tuition at Pima. You can go to Pima and take 30 credits for a year, and tuition is right around $2,200. You add another $1,000 for books. You're talking about $3,200 to take a full year of college at Pima. At the University of Arizona, that dollar amount is $11,000, including fees and books. So quite a value. And if you receive the Pell Grant, if many families in our community are eligible for the Pell Grant, that amount is $5,000. So it easily covers the tuition at Pima. But what the president's proposal does is makes it clear to everyone that college is obtainable, that you can go to college. So I think it changes the perception, even if already low-income folks can go to college, it changes the perception in families throughout the land that college is obtainable for everyone.
Mark Hanna is with us. Mark is a counselor at Catalina Magnet High School. He is the newest governing board member of the Pima Community College Governing Board. You will be sworn in, I think, this week, isn't it?
I'm pretty excited about that. Let me just tell you that I did retire as a counselor at Catalina.
So long time former counselor. Yes.
But I am so excited. I'm going to be sworn in this Wednesday at 2:45 by the Honorable Linda Arzamanian, the superintendent of the Pima County Schools.
What is the board's role with Pima? Perhaps you could kind of articulate that for us.
Yeah, it's very focused. It is the oversight. Number one role is the oversight of the chancellor. The board is responsible for the hiring of chancellor, for the review of the chancellor on a regular basis, and for adopting policies that promote the mission of Pima Community College. And that basic mission is to educate all citizens of our community in higher education.
What kind of enrollment numbers are we looking at? I know enrollment has been falling, and what do you see as perhaps the solution to that?
Well, our current enrollment is about 18,000 full-time equivalent. So let me just explain that. In reality, we're talking over 50,000 folks take some kind of classes at Pima during the year in order to make that report to the government. It has to be converted into full-time. So when you do that, that comes to 18,000. And yes, that is down from a high of about 23,000 a few years ago. But you know what? It's cyclical. And there's no doubt in my mind that that number is going to go back up. We've instituted a enrollment management program at Pima now going back out. We had stopped going to high schools to encourage students to go there, so we have reinstituted that. And I know that there's a number of other things we can do to help that enrollment go back up.
In your role as a longtime counselor at Catalina Magnet High School, I'm sure you dealt with students who felt that they didn't really want to go to a four-year college and were thinking of vocational education. And vocational education is something Pima has done very well. I mean, the aviation program, the aviation repair program, some of the nursing programs, these are all top-notch programs.
Without a doubt. And that's part of the mission of a community college, is not just to prepare students to go on to a four-year college, but there are so many great jobs out there, Bill, with just a two-year diploma, a two-year degree or certificate that are available for students to take. And these are not low-paying jobs. These are jobs that pay upwards of $50,000 a year or more. And the two you mentioned, the nursing and the aviation, are two of the best.
And I think if we can, and counselors in that profession, if they can steer a student, and I'm sure you were trained to recognize a student who really had a feel, they want to work with their hands. They want to be a craftsman. It's something we've really lost in this country, that trades feel. Some of these kids want to, and that's good money, as you point out.
Absolutely.
I mean, call a plumber someday and see how much that's going to cost you.
Absolutely.
Or an electrician. Yeah.
Absolutely. And somehow over the last 20, 25 years, we've kind of downplayed the importance of those occupations, making it seem like everybody has to be a computer programmer, everybody has to be a doctor or an engineer. And the truth of the matter is, we haven't done a good job of letting students know that, hey, there's lots of other jobs out there. And as you well know, many of these trades are occupations where people are retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And the training of new people to take those positions is so important. And I'm really proud of what Pima does in those terms.
I mean, auto mechanics.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a whole new world with auto mechanics. You open up your hood now, and I can barely tell where the oil stick is, let alone the engine. So that's a very important program.
How much of a learning curve, Mark Hanna, will you have after being sworn in this week?
There's no doubt that there's much for me to learn. I'm very excited about it. What I do bring is this knowledge, this hands-on knowledge that I had working with students who are going to Pima, seeing them move through the process, seeing what problems they had concerning financial aid and registration and those kinds of things. So I think I bring a lot with me, but I know I have a lot to learn, and I'm excited to get started.
Well, Pima has several campuses, and people can find out all about what's being done at Pima Community College. The best place, Mark Hanna, is to go to the pima.edu website and go from there.
There is, if you go there, you can actually scroll down and find tons of degrees and certificates and occupations, occupational training programs that meet the wide variety of requests that we get all the time, and that and very easy to apply to Pima. It takes just a few minutes to apply, get your Pima registration number, and you're good to go.
Mark Hanna, we want to wish you all the best with your new position. Thank you very much on the PCC Governing Board.
Thank you so much, Bill.
All right, coming up now on 12:45 on the Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. Dr. Mark Sykes joins us from the University of Arizona, the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. That's coming up next.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show, reaction to the governor's State of the State address, plus our every other Tuesday arts report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. Buckmaster, noon to one, each weekday noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and show archive. Back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion brought to you by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City and Grant County, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. No shortage of great places to stay either, like Casitas de Gila guest houses. You can find the full listing of great places to stay and the many things to do over in Silver City by visiting southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Mark Sykes joining us now, CEO and director of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Now in its, you would be entering 42nd year as a nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes is the former chair of NASA's Small Bodies Assessment Group. These are not people that go work out and have small bodies. We're talking about the little bitty bodies that float in space.
Wish it was.
And they're not really that little, the small body. I mean, what does, first of all, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Bill.
So what qualifies as a small body?
Well, it's all a matter of perspective. You know, generally they're objects that we could see that are irregular shaped objects. And so they may be, you know, tens of meters to the hundreds of kilometers in diameter.
Tom Colburn, who is the Republican senator from Oklahoma, had an op-ed piece recently in the Wall Street Journal, and he writes, NASA is lost in space. He says almost a half century ago, Americans set foot on the moon, only 8 years after the Apollo space exploration program began. Now today, the U.S. has to pay the Russians for a ride to the International Space Station, and the price tag is like $70 million a seat. I think what the senator is saying is, where have we gone wrong? What happened to the U.S. space program?
Well,
did we lose, as he contends, a clear purpose?
Well, you know, back in the 60s, you know, the purpose was to beat the Russians, get to the moon. And once we did that, then we didn't want to just stop because everybody else is getting involved in space too. Unfortunately, we kind of continued along a stunt-based policy. You know, what's the next big thing? And the problem is that as time goes on, doing things gets more and more expensive. So he refers in his article to, you know, maybe we should go back to the moon, maybe we should plan to go to Mars. But you know, those are expensive as well. And when we do that, then do we stop? Do we just go plant a flag and say we're done, you know, like we did, you know, in Apollo days? Or he talks about having a longer-term view, and I agree with that. He thinks we're spending too much on the space station, but instead of letting the space station dump into the ocean in the 2020s, maybe we should be thinking about what that long-term vision should be. I mean, if we go back to the moon, shouldn't it be to stay? And if it's to stay, what do we need to do that? Mm-hmm. It's certainly very expensive to go from the Earth all the way up to the surface of the moon. If we can build infrastructure in space, if we can use resources up there on near-Earth asteroids, we were talking about asteroids earlier that are actually easier to get to than the surface of the moon, then maybe we can cut the expenses substantially to the point where it becomes practical to go to the moon and stay at the moon, but we got to build that infrastructure. And then what do we need to do that? Well, maybe we need the space station for that. There's a lot of experiments in in-situ resource utilization and other biological things that have never been done on the space station. But if we burn it up in the Earth's atmosphere, then we probably have to spend more than our annual marginal cost of maintaining it to put up another platform to do the experiments that we need to have a longer term future. So we need to look at we need to figure out what our long term future is and figure out how best to use the resources that we have.
And the Senator Colburn believes reform is necessary, and he says the place to start, Mark Sykes, is by ending the U.S. support for the International Space Station, which at $100 billion holds the Guinness World Record for the most expensive man-made object.
But that's sunk costs over, you know, a quarter of a century, and he's being short-sighted in deciding that we're going to throw something away before we decide whether we need it for having that long-term future. But I agree with him that we have to decide what is our long-term plan. If we send a person to Mars right now, the estimate for doing that is $1 trillion.
Whoa.
And I don't see Congress giving NASA $50 billion a year for 20 years to accomplish that. So how could we, you know, if we want to go to Mars, then again, is it just for to plant a flag and say, look at me, Ma? Or do we go there with the idea to stay? Maybe not quite yet the retirement community that Elon Musk would like to see. But if we're going to stay there, then how do we make use of the resources in space from near-Earth asteroids as we get to Mars, on the surface of Mars, Phobos and Deimos perhaps, to make this a self-sustainable type activity as opposed to a one-off? And we've had 50 years of kind of one-off plans, and those plans price us out of the market just about.
You wonder if China putting a person on the moon or several people on the moon by 2020 in the 2020s could really maybe refocus what we want to do.
Well, you know, I mean, more power to them. But if they're just going to go off and plant the Chinese flag and come back and smoke a cigarette, you know, they're going to be in the same kind of boat where they're investing a lot of money in an event that it's not sustainable. And so I haven't heard of the Chinese engaging in any planning activity that would suggest that they're doing anything more than a publicity stunt. So, you know, I mean, and if they want to do that, then, like I said, you know, as Joe Biden would say, God bless them. Maybe his mother, right?
Dr. Mark Sykes is with us from the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute, a nonprofit that really employs a lot of people in this community, not only in this community, but money that comes into the community through the research. You've got how many researchers?
We've got about 100 PhDs now.
100 PhDs.
I think we might be the largest employer of planetary scientists in the world.
I'm sure you are. The Rosetta mission, what's the latest on that?
Well, it continues to be a really neat mission, and they made a very important measurement on the surface of Rosetta, which was with respect to heavy hydrogen. It's been thought that our oceans may have come from comets impacting the Earth early in the solar system. And if you pick up some ocean water, there are 3 deuterium water molecules, that's heavy hydrogen instead of a regular hydrogen molecules. But on the Rosetta comet, Churyumov-Gerasimenko, it's 3 times more. So if that's common of all comets, and comets were pounding the Earth, we couldn't have the deuterium ratio that we have today. So this suggests that perhaps the oceans didn't come from comets, that perhaps they came from another population of objects like asteroids in the main belt, which formed much closer to the sun, and so may have formed with a deuterium ratio much closer to what we observe on the Earth.
But the thinking had been that comets perhaps were the origin of our oceans.
Right, because comets have a lot of ice, right?
Yeah, right.
And so if you're looking for where did the water come from, mm-hmm. you think, well, where's the water? Oh, it's in these cometary bodies. Mm-hmm. But actually, there's a lot of asteroids, particularly in the outer part of the main belt beyond the snow line, 3 AU, 3 times the Earth-Sun distance, that have a lot of water in them as well.
Well, so, the whole Rosetta and the Comet mission doesn't necessarily get a lot of people excited, like going to Mars or something like that. But we continue to learn. Just you just gave us some great information. Now we continue to learn many things from this Rosetta mission.
Yes, yes. All of our solar system exploration missions are telling us a lot more, not just about these distant planetary bodies or satellites or asteroids and comets, but it also tells us something about the Earth. And when we go to other places, even like Mars, the level of detailed information we're getting back these days is such that we can compare processes that are going on other planets and on our own planet, and therefore we're learning more about where we live as well as about the neighborhood that we live in.
All right, Dr. Mark Sykes, you can find out, and we urge all of our listeners to go to PSI, that's planetaryscienceinstitute.edu, for more information, and I urge folks to become a member. I'm a member, and you're doing great work over there. Thank you, Dr. Sykes.
Thank you very much, Bill.
All right, if you're looking for an auto mechanic, I've got the recommendation for you for a foreign or domestic. Mike Emery and the team over at Perfection Auto Works, convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. Check out what they do over there, and you can find out more about them at perfectionautoworks.com. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, one of our other local talk shows. We encourage you to give that show and Mike Shaw a listen. Wake Up Tucson, 3 hours of local talk from 6 to 9, the first 2 hours Wake Up, and then the Daily Double with Christy Simone, and then Ed Alexander and me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04. We'll do it all over again tomorrow, Ed. Okay, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cordero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.